Like to read now from Luke. If you will follow in your Bibles, I encourage you to do that. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, the Word of God says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." I want you to think about what a marvelous thing it was to be Mary. Can you imagine the blessing of having the angel come to you and tell you that you are highly favored, that God has called on you to bear His Son, His only begotten Son. You're highly favored, you're blessed among women. Verse 29 says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Brethren, I think it's absolutely amazing the things that God has done that are recorded in the Word of God. It's also amazing to look at how God is working in our lives today. God is more powerful than we can ever comprehend. When this angel came to the Virgin Mary, she could not imagine any way that she could bring forth a child. There had never been, nor has there ever been since then, there has never been a conception like what took place with Mary. When the Holy Ghost came upon her and she conceived, that was in her was the Son of God. An amazing and a marvelous miracle that God performed. She was not just a young woman, but she was a virgin. And she was still a virgin when she brought forth that child. It's a great and a marvelous miracle, the miraculous birth, the conception and the birth of Jesus Christ are a great blessing from God. And I pray that God will help us this morning, that even though it's not the exact same thing, there are similar things that God has done for us that He did for Mary. God has performed just as great a miracle in some ways in our lives as He did in Mary's life. There are some ways that we are just as blessed as Mary was. There are some ways that the children of God are just as favored as Mary was. There are some ways that God has come to us just as the Holy Spirit came to Mary and she conceived and bare a son. The Holy Spirit has come to all of God's born-again children. God came to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and Christ dwells in us today because of the work of the Holy Spirit. God, through the Spirit, put Christ in every one of us. When we were born of the Spirit of God, there is a sense in which Christ was conceived in us. And so it is that you and I, as the people of God, we have Christ in us today. And that's a marvelous miracle of God, that Christ can be in you today. I want us to turn now to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I want you to notice a verse of Scripture here that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Word of God makes this statement. Colossians chapter 1, it talks about the fact that Christ is in you. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Wasn't it a great miracle that Christ was in Mary? It's also just as great a miracle in a sense that Christ is in you. I rejoice at what a marvelous thing happened to Mary, but I need to rejoice at what a marvelous thing God has done for me, that Christ would be in me. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the Word of God says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you know my only hope of being in eternal glory is because God came to me like He did Mary, and God conceived in me Christ, and Christ is in me, and because Christ is in me, that is my hope of eternal glory. There's nothing I've ever done. There's nothing you ever did for Christ to come and for Him to be in you. It's the work of God. And God did that marvelous work of placing Christ in you, and Christ is in you today. Christ is in you, and He is your hope of glory. He's the only reason you have a confidence of being in the glory world, which is to come when this world is over. The only reason you're going to be in that glory world is because of what Christ has done, is doing, and shall do for you. It's because Christ is in you that you have the hope of glory. But Christ is in you today, just as Jesus Christ was in Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I know that there's a difference, and this is part of what I want to be sure that you understand. There is a difference in what happened to Mary and what happens to us. But I want to try to draw a parallel that you and I ought to be just as amazed at what God has done for us as what God did for Mary. We ought to be just as thankful for what God has done for us as Mary was for what God had done for her. Listen now. When we think about Christ being in us, the hope of glory, I first want you to think about in an eternal sense that it's because of Christ being in us that we will be in eternal glory. The Word of God also talks a lot about us entering into His glory while we're here in this world. And the only reason, just as the only reason we'll be in eternal glory is because Christ is in us. The only reason you can enter this glory in the kingdom of heaven is because Christ is in you. If Christ was not in you, you could not enter into His glory right now. But because Christ is in you, that's our hope of entering into the kingdom of heaven. That's our hope. That's the only reason. That's the reason I have confidence I can overcome the devil, is because Christ is in me. That's the only reason that I can, the scripture says, greater is He that is in you. Well, who is it that's in you? It's Christ in you. And that's my hope. That's my confidence as I face the attacks of Satan and the temptations of the devil. My confidence, my hope of entering into His glory in this life is because Christ is in me. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Eternally and in the kingdom of heaven, it's because Christ is in me. Back up in your Bibles very quickly to Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, as he talked about all that he did, he would periodically, and listen, brethren, was it a miracle what Paul was able to do? Was it a miracle that Saul of Tarsus, a man who hated Christians, who hated Jesus, was it a miracle that God would allow Saul of Tarsus to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? It was a great miracle. It was a marvelous miracle. It was all because of Christ in Paul that he was able to do whatever he did. Did Paul enter into His glory here in this world? Did Paul enter into the kingdom of heaven? Did he rejoice? He did, and it was all because God came on Saul of Tarsus, just like He came on Mary. The same kind of miracle that came on Mary of Christ being formed in her, that same miracle was that the Spirit of God came on Saul of Tarsus, and Jesus was conceived in Saul of Tarsus, and he became Paul the Apostle in a wonderful way. And here's what he says about all that he accomplishes. He keeps emphasizing every time he talks about what he's doing and what he's accomplishing. He says, it's no more me, but it's Christ that dwells in me. Look at his wording here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." I'm sorry. Let me back up to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." You know, there were a lot of things the Apostle Paul had to give up. There were a lot of things he lost. He speaks about those in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "What things were gained to me, I counted loss." He says, "I gave up all of those things, and I lost a lot of things. But what I gained is far superior to what I lost and what I gave up." He says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Was he experiencing glory? Was he experiencing the abundant life? Was he living in a way that he had never known before Christ came to him and Christ was formed in him? He says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Do you hear the wording there? Christ. What? Not Christ is one day going to live in me, but Christ is right now living in me. And the Apostle Paul would declare, and does declare many times, that his only hope of eternal glory was because of what God had done for him. And his only hope of serving God each day was because Christ was in him. And so he says, "I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, turn to Galatians chapter 4. Listen, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul still speaking about Christ being in his people. And brethren, he's writing to the saints of God at Galatia. They were already born again. But they needed to have Christ formed in them. And I want you to, this is an important transition as we go along. There is the process of Christ being placed in you at regeneration. But there's also the process of Christ being formed in you as you follow God and His Word. In Galatians chapter 4, listen, in verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, "My little children." And brethren, I want to repeat again, they've already been born of the Spirit of God. Christ is already conceived in them. Christ is already dwelling in them in that eternal sense. But he says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." You hear the wording there? Now, brethren, I, as your pastor, I travail. Just like a woman in birth, I travail sometimes. When I start working with a new convert, it takes a lot of work, a lot of labor. I have to work and try to get people away from sin and toward Christ and get them to, Christ is in them. But I want them to have Christ formed in them. I want Christ to become evident in them. I want Christ to be seen clearly in them and in me. I want Christ to be formed in me. I'll tell you, I had this picture last night that a woman can be with child and the child's in there, but there's no evidence. You can't see anything to indicate that the woman is with child. But I'll tell you what happens after that child begins to grow and that child begins to form. You follow the word form there. He says, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And that's what I want to see happen in all of our lives, my life and yours, is that we travail, that we work and we labor to follow Christ until Christ is so clearly seen that as people look at us, they would say, "He is definitely with Christ. He's with child. The child's in him. Christ is in him." Now, after a period of time, and listen, until Christ, well, remember the wording here, "I travail in birth until Christ be what? Formed in you." Now, do you see the development in forming, Christ being formed in you? It's much like in Genesis chapter 1, the scripture says that the earth was without form. You remember that? It was without form and void. And then the Spirit of God began to move. And listen, brethren, in our lives, we were without form. And though Christ was in us, he might not could have been seen because all he was just conceived in us. And he had been born of the Spirit of God and he was in there. But there was no evidence that he was in there. But you know what happens when a child of God who has been born of the Spirit of God and they begin to follow the Lord and you begin to see something. You ever seen a woman that you began to look at and you thought, yeah, there's a glowing. Yes, that's one thing. There's a glowing about the person. But then as Christ keeps forming in us, there's not just that glowing, but there's something so evident. We say, that person has Christ in them. He has formed in them. You ever seen a woman that was, the baby was fully formed in the woman? That the woman was with child and the birth was about to take place, and you could look and say, that woman is with child. You see what I'm talking about? Fully formed. And so it is in the lives of God's people that I need to labor that Christ would be fully formed in me, that you would be able to look at me and clearly say, yeah, I see you got Christ in you. He's formed in you. Now, there are all kinds of ways that you can look at someone. I'll give you an example. I got here early this morning, but when I got here, there was already someone here, and that person had come to work on the trumpet of truth. And when they got here, the labels weren't here, or at least we couldn't find them. And so you know what he did? He started finding other things that needed to be done around here in the church. Started wiping off all the tables, putting down the chairs, getting everything. You see what I'm talking about? Now, first of all, most people aren't going to come early. Put labels on the mag. Some people don't want to put labels on magazines. Some people just don't want to work. You ever seen anybody that ran from work? You ever seen anybody that just didn't care about the work of God? They didn't want to labor. I don't see it. Christ may be there. Christ may be there. But as far as them working and laboring and serving, there's just no evidence that he's there. And then other people, you'll see humility. And when you see that humility, what do you see? Oh, there's some evidence that Christ is being formed in them. And we see a person doing all kinds of different things. You see, as a person has Christ formed in them, you're going to see all these evidences in their lives in so many different ways that you're going to say, yeah, Christ is in him. Christ is formed. He's fully formed. Now, go with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, listen please to verse 15. The Word of God says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let me read 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Do all of you understand that right now I'm not talking about being born again? Right now I'm talking about something that comes after being born again, where we travail and we work and we labor and we mortify the deeds of the flesh, and Christ becomes more and more clear in your life. People look at you and say, that's a Christian. That's a Christian right there. Why? Well, because Christ is formed in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul writing to the saints of God at Corinth, the church, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons. Are they already born of the Spirit of God? Are they already born of the Spirit of God? They're already born of the Spirit of God. They're already born again, baptized believers. And he says, but as my sons, my beloved sons, I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ. Now, what does a father do? What's a father do? What's the difference in an instructor and a father? A father's got a heart for the people. A father's concerned about the people. A father travails to try to help the children grow. Does that make sense? He says, you've got plenty of instructors, but you don't have many fathers. You don't have many people that care about you. You don't have many people, many fathers, many instructors that love you like Paul loved them. And he says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Do you hear that wording right there? I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, brethren, that word begotten means to be born and to be the offspring of. And do you see the picture that's taking place there? How is a person begotten through the gospel? Listen, brethren, as a man of God preaches the Word of God, and the people of God take the Word of God and receive the Word of God, because Christ is in them already in regeneration, they're able to hear the Word of God, and then when they become doers of the Word of God, they are begotten through the what? Through the gospel. You're not, listen carefully, you're not born again by the preaching of the gospel. You're not born again the first time by the preaching of the gospel. But you can be begotten through the gospel. That is, you can have Christ formed in you through the gospel. And as you hear the gospel and you're doers of God's word, Christ is going to be formed in you. You're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Go with me. I think this is what, well, there's so many different ways. If you just think about what are some ways that you can look at someone and say, Christ is formed, at least in that area, Christ is formed in that person's life. When you see somebody studying the Word of God, diligently reading and studying the Word of God, can you say Christ is formed in them? Do you remember what Christ did when he was tempted of the devil? You know what he did every time in Matthew 4 when the devil would come and try to tempt him, and the devil would say, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. And Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The most powerful offense and defense you have against Satan is a knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. A child of God that knows the Word of God and is studying the Word of God and is humble in their understanding of the Word of God, that child of God is growing spiritually. Because as we hear the written Word, as we hear the preached Word, and as we follow the preached Word, we become more like the living Word. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You want to see Jesus? You get somebody that's reading and studying and following the Word of God. You get somebody that Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. James says, be not hearers of the Word only, but doers thereof. You know what's happening when a person's a doer of the Word of God? They're being begotten through the what? The gospel. They're being made alive, and Christ is being what? Christ is being formed in them. That being alive, being made alive, is different than the being made alive when you're born of the Spirit of God. Oh, how beautiful it is to see people who hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and see Christ is being formed in their lives. It's much like the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints of God at Philippi, and he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have you ever seen anybody that had the mind of Christ? Have you ever seen people that in various ways in their lives you could say, that person has the mind of Christ? He's a worker. Was Jesus a busy man on this earth? Was he a lazy man or a busy man? He was a busy man. Every single apostle that Jesus called, every one of them was already busy. He called them to be apostles. They had to leave a busy work they were doing to do a greater work. Oh, brethren, what a blessed privilege it was for Mary to have the Holy Spirit come upon her and for her to conceive and for Jesus to be in her. But what a great privilege it is that we have, that the Holy Spirit has come upon us and we have had the Spirit of God placed in us. Christ has been put in us. And now that Christ is in us, as we hear and obey the gospel and follow the Word of God, then we become, Christ becomes formed in us. And the more Christ is formed in you, the more other people are going to see Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Go with me in closing to John chapter 14. Back up in your Bibles just a minute to John chapter 14. I don't know of many scriptures that I've ever gone to any more than John 14 because, listen, brethren, this is one of the most important things. Everything Jesus said is important, but it's something very needful in our lives. In John 14, Jesus was in the flesh and he was about to leave this world. And he says in John 14 verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're not keeping the commandments of God, you just don't love God. You can talk about the liberty you have in Christ, and you can run away from keeping the commandments of God. You can run away from the law of Christ. You can run away from the Word of God all you want to and talk about the liberty you have in Christ. You're going away from Christ when you get away from doing what God's Word has to say. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And then there's a promise. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, question very quickly, is it the Holy Ghost that abides in you? Is it the comforter that abides in you? Or is it the Father that abides in you? Or is it the Holy Spirit that abides in you? Or is it Jesus that abides in you? Okay, well, in verse 17, it's the Holy Spirit. And come down now to verse 20. Jesus says in verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. And look at those last words there. And I in you. He says, after my resurrection, you're going to know that the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father, and I'm in you. Was Mary a blessed woman? Are you blessed today? I think, brethren, we can never thank God enough, never give Him enough glory for the privilege that we have. But did Mary feel unworthy when that angel Gabriel came to her and said what was going to happen? Did she feel unworthy? Yes, she did. Did she acknowledge, I don't know how this can happen? Well, I don't know how in the world God could love a sinner like me. I don't know how in the world I don't know how Christ could live in me. But I know this, just as much as Christ lived in Mary and she felt unworthy, Christ lives in me and I feel unworthy. And I pray that God will help me, that Christ might be formed in me, and that you can look at me and say, Jesus is there. It's evident. You ever seen a woman that you said, nah, no doubt now. No doubt now. He says in verse 23, John 14, verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Now remember, this doesn't mean God starts loving him. This means the Father is going to manifest his love for him. We love him because he first loved us. Same writer in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. But then when we do love him, he manifests love to us. So he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, that's the Father and the Son, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I'm going to live with him, going to dwell in him, going to be formed in him. May God help us to, in this season, that we rejoice in the great work, the miracle of Jesus being in Mary, the mother of Jesus. May God help us to recognize the miracle that Christ would be placed in us. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.